Ready when you are. You ready? Are you ready? Getting ready? Almost ready? Want to be ready? Yes. God is the God of manifestation of miracles and signs and wonders. And just when you pay attention, you see all the glorious things that God does and continues to do. And no matter where we are on our life journey, no matter how far away we might have drifted from God, no matter how lost we might seem, and no matter how much we mess up and get a 9 out of 10 instead of a 10 out of a 10, that's awful. I know, it's terrible. Our perfection, not that it matters, but it was actually not that wrong. I'm going to hear. Oh, so that said, needless to say, it's this. It's okay to be imperfect, isn't it? We have a perfect God, don't we? Our perfection is in our spiritual walk. Eventually, we grow from glory to glory, higher and higher. We're moving forward all the time, are we not? Unless we're moving which way? No way, right? Sometimes you just stay put, don't you? Some of you, right? Exactly. So we're wanting to help you change and grow. That's what this church is all about. Spiritual enrichment, being enriched by the Spirit of God, and growth. Getting higher, going higher, moving higher into that spiritual realm where the things of this earth no longer matter, when all that matters is love. Because that's in the end of it, it's all that matters, isn't it? Exactly. And that's what helps us change and grow. The more we grow in God's love and the more we grow in God's Spirit, which is love, the more loving we are, the more we grow to be more like God and more like Christ. That's the perfection we're shooting for. We're going after the aim of being just like Jesus. That's what we're all about, right? That's our goal eventually, right? Ready when you are, though, right? Okay. So let's go to the book of Luke this morning. We see this throughout Scripture where Jesus was calling people all the time, asking them to follow him so that he would be the leader of their life, that they would go to places that they didn't even dream were possible. And some of the places might not be where they might expect, and it might not have been the most beautiful places either. Because a lot of the people that Jesus hung out with were imperfect, in case you didn't know that. And so those are the places he went. He went to the garbage dump to get the people out of that place where they lived there literally. He took the people out of the cemeteries because they didn't think they could live anymore, and that's where they stayed. He took the people out of the places of position where they thought money and those things of this world mattered more than anything, and he took them out of that place. And he continues to take us all out of places that we used to be, right? And into a place of being with him and following him and just keeping our eye on him. If you want to imitate someone, imitate Christ. And you can see all about him in the Scriptures, the Gospels particularly. You'll get to see how he spoke, how he acted, how he treated other people. And he showed the power of the Holy Spirit in him. That's how he could do all the things he can do. And the beautiful thing about that Spirit is it's not external from us. It lives where? Within us. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and dwells in us. And we're attached to the vine, as we learned in Bible study. We're attached. And we stay attached to that. And so God sometimes prunes the vine, right? Ouch. And then we grow more, don't we? Yes, we do. But we stay attached. We stay attached. So important. But some of us drift away and some of us haven't been attached yet, right? So we're trying to do two things in this church. We're trying to get people attached to God to follow him. We're looking for those that are imperfect. Oh, okay. And then we got some of those here. And so we look for the imperfect people, whoever they may be, but God, because God loves us all equally, right? God doesn't put us in categories. Nobody's better or worse than anybody else, right? And some of us, our sins are not worse or better than someone else's either. We don't need to compare that either, right? And we don't need to compare our faults and our flaws, do we? And please don't keep a list of mine. I appreciate that. So moving right along. Moving right along, we see Jesus constantly calling people to follow him. And here's the problem I find in ministry all the years I've been doing this. Not everybody follows. Oh, I know. It's so hard to get people to follow, to say this is a loving God. This is a man who exudes nothing but peace and joy and love and power. Someone who can change you inside and out. Someone who will love you unconditionally everlastingly. It never ends. Jesus will never stop loving us or never stop forgiving us. Isn't that good? Isn't it sound exciting to follow a guy like that who's going to love you regardless of what you do or don't do right? Who's going to help you change and grow gently and teach you by his example how to follow and be? Wow. How many of you would like to follow that God? All right. Well, that's a God we follow here. In case somebody else thinks there's another God here, that's the God we follow, right? But not everybody does, right? So our ministry goes on. Our ministry goes on to help people understand, because a lot of people have learned the wrong things about God, in my opinion. They hear it from other people, and they're taught the wrong things. Nothing of what's really in Scripture, nothing what Jesus is really about whatsoever. So sometimes I spend my time teaching about who Christ is, and sometimes I have to unteach you what you think Christ is. So I'm doing a dual thing here all the time, right? But when you're ready, you can follow this Christ. When you're ready. Anytime. Day or night. Right now would be a good time. Thank you. Right now. Right now. So let's go to the book of Luke, as I was going to say. Chapter 9. Chapter 9, beginning at verse, looks like 57. This is Jesus walking around with his disciples to kind of set the stage. They were in another village. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you no matter where you go." Wow. Great statement, right? True statement, right? Challenging statement, right? Over-promising statement, perhaps, right? Wherever you go, I'll follow you to the good places, maybe, and those other places of suffering and sorrow and hurt and pain and seeing people at their worst and maybe seeing people hurting, you want me to follow you there? Some of us have said yes to that. Wherever you go, I'll go. Jesus replied, just in case you didn't know this, he gives information to us to understand when we say we're going to follow him wherever he goes. He gives us this statement so we understand where we're going, where we're headed. Foxes have dens to live in. Birds have nests. A lot of people have homes to live in. Oh, I added that. But I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head. He's asking us to follow him, to give up our homes, our nests, our comfort zones. He's asking us to follow him, and he has no place to lay his head. Okay, I'll be back. I didn't mean to really say that back. Can I retract what I just said? Oh. He said to another person, "Come be my disciple." The man agreed. Good. All right, we're making progress. Good. But he said, Lord, let me first return home and bury my father. Jesus replied, "Let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God." So guess what? Burying your father, that spirituality's already happened. It's now time to go talk to who? The living, right? Okay, he's taken care of, bury your father, but now you got other people to go bring the good news to about the kingdom of God, right? Right? Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. My dog needs to be taken care of, and I got 17 cats that I'm worried about. But before I follow you, I got to make sure they're okay." Slightly more than Pastor Jamie and Tosh have. Okay, whoa, 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 whoa. Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow," right? You ready to plow the field, right? You ready to do it? You ready to move forward? You ready to grow? You ready? You ready to follow Jesus? And you put your hand on the plow and say, "I'm going to plow the fields, open up the harvest. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be a seed planter." That's basically, essentially all of us are, right? We're going to plant the seed of God's love everywhere we go and try to help watch that flourish and grow. But God is the one that makes it grow, right? So I got to put my hand to the plow and begin to open up the dirt, right? You're going to plant some seeds. You got to open up the dirt, right? So you put your hand on the plow and you go, but you look back. This looks hard, what I'm about to do. Plowing is tough. And seed planting is tough because sometimes we don't get to see the harvest, do we? We don't get to see the results, do we? And most of us like results, don't we? So if there's no reward in doing it, why, because we can't see it right when it happens, why would we put our hand on the plow? And some of us sometimes, even though we want to, it seems too hard, doesn't it? Because where's our mind and our heart sometimes? Something over here that we need to be thinking we have to take care of, right? And this is just an example of Jesus calling people to follow him, right? He's trying to see, where's your heart? Do you really want to follow me? I'm going to tell you what we're going to go do. So you know it ahead of time. It's going to be tough some days. It's going to be hard some days. It isn't going to be all glory some days. There's going to be no appreciation ever because you're not doing it for applause and you're not doing it for praise. You're not doing it for recognition. You're doing it for God, exactly. And if you're doing it for those other things, you're going to get tired of pushing that plow and getting no reward, right? And Jesus says this, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God, meaning you don't fit into what he's asking you to be, right? Basically, I look at this as excuse-itis. Anybody else have excuse-itis? You know, when everything is right and everything's perfect and all the things line up, that would be the time that you really give all of yourself to God. And not only, I don't mean it in the sense of that you have to go start a ministry and do all these, miraculous, awesome things. You just have to put your hand on the plow and begin to move forward and to try to plant some seeds. That's all we're asking of you, right? To do your part of what your personal spiritual gifts are. To just get started. That's one aspect. But there's also the aspect of how about changing some things in your life? Anybody need to change anything in their life for the, okay, a couple, oh, yeah, okay, whoa. All right, so that said, we're going to turn to John 7. You'll see the connection, I promise you. I guess before I start that, how many of us are willing to give up our excuses today first, those of us that have excusitis? Be healed of excusitis in the name of Jesus. Okay. All right, moving on. Luke chapter 7. John chapter 7. Thank you. John chapter 7, verse 37 says this. On the last day of the climax of the festival festival of shelters, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "If you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare that the rivers of living water will flow out from within." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So he's at the Festival of Shelters. And this is something that the Israelites and the Jews would always commemorate when they were 40 years in the wilderness and that God provided shelter for them. And they would celebrate the fact that God took care of them even in the wilderness. And during the festivities, they would often take water, put it into a silver bowl by the altar. And the priest would pray for rain to sustain them, to help the crops to grow so that they would be, for this next year, they would be provided for. But also that water would also be something that would quench their thirst and so forth. And then they also knew that the water would also represent the Holy Spirit. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. So at the end of the festival, they would always pray that God would send the Holy Spirit through the Messiah. That's what would take place at the Festival of Shelters. So it's not surprising that Jesus stood there and said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me, right? Come to me. I'm the living water, and I will quench your spiritual thirst. And the water he was speaking of was the Holy Spirit. So he was actually fulfilling right then and there the prophecy that the Messiah had come and that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. So here's what do you suppose happened? Do you ever wonder what happened in those days when that happened? All those Jews were there and the priests were there, and they heard what Jesus said, and he stands up and he yells, talks to the crowd. He says, come to me, anyone, anyone, everyone who's thirsty. Come and drink. Verse 40, when the crowds heard him say this, some of them declared, this man surely is the prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others said, but he can't be. Will the Messiah come from Galilee? Nazareth? For the scriptures clearly state that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born. That's where he's supposed to be from. Where was Jesus born? Obviously, this person never heard the Christmas story. They never went to a Christmas play. You see how misinformation can mess us up from going to Christ? Do you see how the things that were taught and they were taught can sometimes interfere with us really having our life be changed by God? It's what sometimes it stops us from receiving from God what God wants for us. Now, the question is this. I asked it earlier. How many of you have some things to change in your life? How many of you are doing everything you possibly can to do that? How many of you, okay. I would, but I'm working on it. How many of you often say, I'm going to work on it. I'm working on it. I will do it. I can learn. You see some of the problem in the word I. Oh, yes. How about with God? How about we work on it? How about we work on it together, right? Right? See, some of us don't understand how easy it is and how simple it is to when we allow God in 100% into us, into our mind, heart, and soul, and into our life, how things will change by God doing it in us and with us and for us. I've been trying to help you be lazy Christians. Meaning, you stop working on it and let God do it. The older you get, you can't probably do some of those things anyway, so you might as well stop doing them now. You know, if we jump ahead, but if you jump ahead to chapter 8, we see a third place where Jesus actually goes by the Solomon's colonnade, and he sees the paralyzed man there, right? So he's just talked to the crowd over here and said, come to me if you're thirsty. And some of the people did, and some of them talked about whether or not who he was, which tells me probably they didn't, right? See, something's blocking many people from coming to God. And if I could just figure out what walls those are, what mental obstacles are in your mind or in your way or in their way, I think we could help them just come to Christ, couldn't we? But sometimes we don't have enough time and we don't have enough pickaxes and we don't have enough sledgehammers to bust those walls, do we? So how about you, any of you that have a wall between you and God right here, right now, how about you step out of the wall? Because you're not only walling yourself in away from you so you think other people that might have harmed you or hurt you in some way, you're keeping people out, but you're also keeping God out. And if you come out into the freedom of knowing Christ, God can change what's happened to you into something better. I can promise you that. We don't have to stay in that box anymore of what you think you are or what you think you can't do. Back to the man in the Solomon's colonnade. He's laying on the mat, paralyzed, right, 38 years. And Jesus walks up to him and says, do you want to get well? How about you jump into the water? I'm paraphrasing. And the man says, I can't, sir. Two detrimental, actually three words, I suppose. Detrimental words. Why? He wasn't ready yet, was he? You see why I'm trying to help you understand being ready right here, right now? The time to change, the time to grow, the time to be more like Christ begins when? Right now. And even if you've been on a long journey with Christ and maybe you haven't grown as far as you would like, right now is also a time to say, okay, I would like to change some of these other things that have kept me paralyzed and stuck in the person who I used to be. We're not genetically disposed to be who we are, necessarily, in terms of our background and who, you know, where we come from. Christ can change us into something which we're supposed to be, ultimately. We're all genetically connected to him through his DNA. Did you realize that? You're not of that family anymore, your original family. You're a Christ family, but that's another sermon, I suppose. So the man did get up, by the way. Why did the man get up and walk into that water? He was ready. He was ready, finally. Listen, when you've had enough of sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you've had enough of pain and sorrow and mourning over your past, whatever, whatever, whatevers, when you stop saying to yourself why you can't be something God wants you to be, when you'll stop giving up those negative beliefs about yourself and calling yourself those things that you think you are, you're not those things anymore, are you? Because you're new in Christ, are you not? And so the question always is, are you ready to change? Really ready? Are you ready to follow? When? And is there anything else you got to go do before we do that? You sure? Because we got time. Oh. The place I got this story from, believe it or not, is actually, I read a lot of probably superfluous information no one really cares about but me. And I read this particular story about Cecil B. DeMille. Now, for those of you that are younger, you probably don't even know who that is, but that was a great director of some type who actually made the movie Ten Commandments. You heard of that? Maybe some? Okay, right? Oh, yeah, very famous man, right? And he was actually making another movie. And in making of that movie, he was doing another biblical teachings and such in that movie. And they actually were, they had a battle that they were going to portray. And so they rehearsed it four times. And it kept messing up, kept messing up, kept messing up. So it was like, okay, let's all right, everybody gather again. Let's do it one more time. So they started the new, whatever they call that, a scene, thank you. And they started that. And Cecil B. DeMille says, action. And the battle went beautifully. It was exactly the way it was scripted. And everybody was like, yeah, we did it. We finally made it after four tries. We did it. And then there was a cameraman who said, I'm ready when you are. What? You didn't film this? See, listen. Some of us go through our life 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times trying to change something, right? And God's saying, action. Time right now to come to him, to change your life, to be different. Action. And what are we going to do behind the camera? Be looking at something else? When you hear Jesus call and say, come to me, all of you who are thirsty, what are you going to do? You're going to go. When? Right now. And should you get thirsty again or hungry again, you go right back to that source, or you remind yourself, wait a minute, I'm following Jesus. Maybe I just lost sight of him. He's a little farther ahead of me. Will you slow down, Jesus? Let me catch up. The Spirit will always be inside you with perpetual water. It's always in here. You have to remind yourself of that as well. And if you need to touch your heart sometimes, or, you know, just go to the place where you feel that Holy Spirit. Some of us, it's in our heads, we hear it, or something of that nature. Remind yourself, action. God changed my life, made a whole new scene of it. Because I was there, I was paying attention when he called me and said, action. I took that action. You took that action, right? All right, so let's recap. If you want your life to change, who's going to help you change it? God. If you haven't asked God for help, when are you going to ask? Are you going to wait until you got all your act together to try to go to God and say, okay, I'm ready for me to follow you? No? We'd never go, would we? And are you willing every single day to go to the well, to attach yourself, make sure you're attached to the vine? Because there's so many distractions, are there not? Life can throw all kinds of things our way. We saw that throughout Jesus' ministry, didn't we? And you see, it didn't matter to him whether he was called the prophet, the Messiah, or anything. All he wanted was the people that were willing to follow him, followed him. The people that wanted to really be healed, they asked for that healing, he gave it to them because they were ready for it. So no more procrastination. Can we give up procrastination? That's the second healing you're receiving today. Because procrastination gives you excusitis. You didn't know this, where it came from, did you? And to try to be something other than what God wants you to be, that's not okay either. Just be you. God created you for a special, unique purpose that only you can fill. You're the answer to somebody else's prayer. I can guarantee you that. And if you just realize that, you are the light of the world. You are. And that light needs to shine in the darkness, does it not? So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to save some more souls. I'm ready to help those people that are lost, those people that are just kind of needing some guidance and direction and needing love. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to forgive others, including myself. And I'm ready to show people Jesus Christ the best possible way I can. I'm ready to put myself on the shelf, leave me behind, and follow Jesus. Put my hand on the plow and watch out, buddy. I got a lot of seeds to plant. And I pray that you'll also be the ones that grab a plow, move on forward with your life. Plant seeds of life and love and peace in people's hearts. Plant Jesus. If people want to know why you're different, why you smile even in the middle of a heartache, it's because of Jesus, is it not? So are we ready to give up all the misinformation we used to think about ourselves? All the, you got it. Thank you. Ready to accept Christ if you haven't before? Ready to follow him wherever he goes? Don't say yes. Okay. All right. I'm ready when you are. Amen. Amen.